Full Harvest, a collection of audio stories and poems inspired by the landscape of the South Downs National Park. Episode 6, The Baptism, by Theo Toxvig Stewart.
It happened by the river, maybe where you are now. I know the spot, but I don't feel like telling you. Not yet. It was a muggy day, the air oppressive and swamped by pollen from the flowers and weeds that swarmed the riverbank. Sweat trickled down the inside of my arm. My top clung to me like a constricting snake. The water was still, trickling past like sludge. A trail of lilies lined the bank, their dead flowers rotting on the pads. I sat on a bench in the late afternoon sun. Midges attacked me like an all-you-can-eat buffet. I came here to look at the house on the other side of the river. You'll know it if you've seen it. Kind of ugly, but also quite impressive. More of a manor than a house, really. It's got this off-yellow colour that makes you feel a bit sick. Stone steps make their way up to the grass and a willow tree that's perched on the riverbank. I think the place is flat now, like everything. I always wondered why the windows are so small. Maybe it's to make the house look even bigger. Or maybe rich people just like darkness. I come here when I've had a fight with my mum. We'll be at each other. I'll say something cutting and then leave like that somehow means I've won, when we both know it's because she's right. I've always been a disappointment. Couldn't even hack 2 terms of university before I had pissed away all my money and failed every assignment I was set. She wants me to be more like my perfect, swotty, smug-faced prick of a brother. She'd never say it, though. She's too kind. That day was different. I'd been stealing money from her. A lot. I didn't even really need it. I just liked doing it. When she found out, I thought she'd shout, tell me to leave and never come back. Instead, she just looked so tired, like the fight had gone out of her. Then she said, I can't pretend to like you anymore. I walked towards the river. The water was stagnant enough to see myself. I bent down and gathered a clump of dry earth in my fist and sprinkled it across my reflection, watching it ripple as the dirt turned into sediment. It sank, and the water became still again. The image cleared and came back into focus. There was something different about it. I leant forward to get a better look. That's when I saw it. My reflection was smiling back at me. I moved away, almost falling back. My head was swirling like there was too much space in it and was lifting me off the ground. I took some deep breaths, trying to shake off the weirdness of the hallucination and bring myself back into my body. Then I crept towards the water, peeping over the edge. My reflection was still there, as if I were leaning over the bank. This was too weird. Before I knew what I was doing, I lashed out, splashing the water to make it go away. Again, the water stilled. Again, a reflection that was me, but not me, stared back. Her skin was clearer than mine, her face kinder, her hair thicker. She was how I'd describe myself if someone asked me what I'd change about my appearance. There was an openness in her that was alien to me. I raised my hand, and so did she. When I waved, she waved. She was my reflection, but we weren't tied together. There was a delay in her movement, like she was copying me rather than mirroring.
What does she look like?
A rasped voice came from downstream, shocking me out of my trance. There was an old man standing in the water. He stooped, his head hanging low. He would have been tall in his youth, the sort of person you'd hate to be stuck behind at a festival. He was shirtless. Maybe even naked. I couldn't tell, as the water came up to his waist. He walked slowly towards me. His movement was laboured. I didn't know if I should run or hide or what. But when I pulled back, my reflection looked sad. There was a secret in her eyes in the way she looked at me. And I knew I couldn't leave. And I also knew, like when the air smells different just before it rains, that this stranger was going to tell me. A bronchial cough came from the man that he should definitely get checked out. It shook his entire body, and then he had to rest his hand on the bank to steady himself. A small drip of spittle hung on his lip. His threadbare body was covered in faded blue tattoos, the pictures obscured by his saggy skin bunching together like a piece of scrunched paper. His chest was covered in fair, wiry hair that the warder had pulled together in little stalagmites. "What is she?" I asked.
"What do you think?"
His breath was forced, like each word cost him something. I looked back into the water. "She's like me," I said. "But better."
"Your better self. The version of you without all the bits you and everyone else around you despise,"
the man said. "What does she want?" I asked.
"It's not what she wants, but what you want."
He coughed again. His body so thin I felt I could see his lungs through the cracks in his ribs. "Okay, then what?" I asked.
"Become her,"
he said, as the sun moved behind a thick cloud, the temperature dropping rapidly. "How do I do that?" I asked.
"Give yourself to the water,"
he said. "Yeah, right. I'll just give myself to the water, shall I, strange voodoo man? Please. Anyway, why was I the one that had to change? Isn't everyone supposed to accept the way they are? I've never hidden from my faults. No, I just got comfortable with them. Let them define me. Grew to know them like a friend you don't look forward to seeing. Isn't that what the whole self-love thing is all about?" "You're all right," I said, moving away. He grabbed both my wrists so forcefully, his long nails digging into my skin. His cloudy blue eyes looked deep into mine.
"You think you'll get another chance?"
he asked, venom in his voice. He pulled me forward, hard, nearly dragged me into the water. His breath was grim, like rotting vegetables. His teeth covered in thick plaque. I tried to get him off, but he held me firm, pressed his mouth to my ear and whispered,
"I can't pretend to like you anymore."
He released me and I quickly scrambled to my feet. "How did you do that?" I asked, barely able to hide the panic in my voice. He stared coldly back at me, the thin smile crossing his lips. "Just piss off," I yelled. He turned and began to wade through the water, his spine poking from his back like a reptile's scales. I was going to go, but then I noticed my reflection. She looked disappointed. The look made me think of my mum. I saw how she looked that day when I had left, tired, defeated, pathetic, almost. I had done that to her. Maybe this was a way of making good? Just do this, and I'll be a better person. Someone who worked hard, who didn't steal, who didn't point out the faults in everyone else around them. Someone whose name she wouldn't dread being mentioned. Maybe someone who one day would live in a flat in a manor by a river with a garden and a willow tree. "Wait," I called after the old man. The water was cold. I could feel the reeds brushing my legs as they clung on against the incessant pull of the flow. Roots of the trees that crowned the bank downstream emerged from the water like famished fingers. The stillness of the surface masked the force of the current underneath. My reflection looked up at me. The old man rested his fingers on her face, then raised them and let the water drip over her image. He did it again, letting the water fall over my head instead.
"Do not resist," he said.
He made me bend to the waist so I was inches away from my better image, who looked back at me with a kindness that would soon be mine. He pushed my head slowly into the water. The tips of our noses touched as I melted into my reflection. Everything became dark as the slimy reeds stuck to my face. He held me under. It wasn't long until I felt my chest start to tighten. I tried to focus, but my brain became cloudy. All I could think of was how desperate I was to breathe. I tried to get out, but the old man's hands grabbed the back of my hair and pushed me deeper. I tapped him to make him stop, but he didn't. My arms thrashed about wildly as I desperately tried to free myself, and the panic set in. I saw something appear from the reeds below. It was my reflection, but she wasn't an image anymore. She was real. She put her hands on either side of my face. Her eyes were deathly white. She had no iris or pupils. She smiled at me, revealing a black recess where teeth should have been. Hundreds of thin, scaled worms crept from her mouth. I tried to scream, but the creature swam into mine, blocking my throat, wriggling down into my insides. My body lost all strength as she dragged me deeper and deeper until no light could reach us, and everything was silent. As soon as my eyes opened, I spat and coughed to clear the worms crawling down my throat. But there was nothing in my mouth. My lungs felt slack, like they'd lost all elasticity. I breathed deeply to draw in the humid air, but an unbidden cough scraped my insides until they were raw. I placed a hand on the riverbank to steady myself, but something was wrong. That hand wasn't mine. It was old. I looked down to see my chest covered in fair, wiry hair. Pain emanated from every part of me. It was all I could do not to cry out. I tried to stand up straight, but my spine was fused into a hunch. It was then that I looked in the water. There, staring back at me, was the reflection of the old man. This couldn't be happening. I pulled at the sagging skin that covered this body, trying to somehow get it off. Laughter came from the riverbank. I turned, slowly. So, slowly. To see my body looking down at me. It was wringing out my wet hair.
What have you done?
I yelled, the strength of the words forcing me to catch my breath. You don't mind if I borrow this, do you? The thing in my body said with my voice. You weren't using it. Best to let someone who knows what they're doing have a go.
This wasn't what you said. I was supposed to get my better self,
I said. You could have, it said. All those years where you saw what you were doing to others and did nothing about it. You don't know how to work for anything. You can't be given a better self. The river just shows you what you could be. I clawed at the bank, trying futilely to pull myself out, but I was trapped by my joints' immobility, like gravity had increased and it was tethering me to the earth.
Change me back!
I screamed, choking on whatever crap filled these lungs. My stolen body bent down and dug its nails into the loose folds of my neck. Always the easy route, it said. Then they blinked, and their eyes, my eyes, were white. No iris, no pupil. I'll say hi to your mum for you. They blinked again, the dark hazel colour returning. She pushed me back into the river and walked down the trail without looking back. It happened by the river. Maybe where you are now. I know the spot, but I don't feel like telling you. You'll know when you see me.
The Baptism was written by Theo Toxvig Stewart and read by Madeline Gray and Sydney Keane. It was commissioned and produced by Applause in partnership with the South Downs National Park Authority. We hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. There are 9 more podcasts for you to enjoy, so please subscribe to this series.